We'll start in John chapter number 6 and verse number 44. John chapter 6 and verse number 44. I want to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit tonight. First, for just a few minutes in salvation, and then the importance of the Holy Spirit in supplication or in prayer, the importance of the Holy Spirit among the saints, the importance of the Holy Spirit in our security, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in studying the Scriptures. That's where I want to go tonight, as I believe the Lord is leading. In John chapter 6 and verse number 44, the Word of God said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will," glory to God, I like those two words, don't you? "I will raise him up at the last day." Amen. Not I might, I maybe, but I will. When Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." I'm messing that scripture up some way, I'm going to just have to turn to it. Last time I tried to quote that scripture, I missed it. I know I did. "Let not your heart be troubled." I'm going to try it one more time. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," here's them two words, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where there ye may be also." I like that. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the precious Holy Spirit of God. Lord, you said when you came that you would magnify Jesus. And Lord, you sent another comforter. And Lord, we know tonight that the Holy Spirit doesn't magnify himself. Yet tonight, Lord, it's in my heart, Lord, to help us to understand the importance of walking with you, the importance of talking with you, the importance, Lord, of not quenching the Holy Spirit, the importance, Lord, of not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I'm afraid in my life I've done that way too many times. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's young and said, amen. When I read John 6:44, I think about an illustration that I heard or read years ago. I've shared it here before, but I believe it's worthy of sharing again. It was a story about a little boy that was standing on a street corner, and he had a stick in his hand. There was a string going up. The clouds were hanging low that day. And somebody asked the little boy, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "Well, I don't see a kite." The little boy said, "I don't see it either." And they said, "Well, how do you know you're flying a kite?" He said, "Because I feel the tug." Glory to God. I ain't never seen the Lord, but I sure have felt the tug. Amen. I felt the tug in my life. That's how I got started in the Christian life. Amen. He tugged at my heart. He knocked at my heart's door. And there's no salvation apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. Sister Bessie said something to me the other night. This is what she said. I want you to listen to this. She said, "I figured you knew God was dealing with me because I came by myself." Now, I didn't put all that together. You know what I mean? But there was a woman that knew God was dealing with her. Amen. Nobody else might not know, but if God's dealing with you, you know. Say amen. But I really believe this, that the rest of us ought to be more sensitive to knowing when God is dealing with someone's heart. Amen. Jesus said, John 16:7. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Just want you to know the importance of the Holy Spirit in salvation. That's how we got started. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away." In other words, it's absolutely necessary, Jesus said. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." How many is glad God sent him? Say amen. And the Bible said, when he's come, now watch this, we ain't going to like this probably. Actually, if you're saved, you will like it. Amen. And if you're not saved, you're like it, because there's no getting saved without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin. I'm going to tell you what, when he came to me, beloved, he didn't pat me on the back and tell me everything's all right. I'm telling you, he knocked at my heart's door and let me know everything was all wrong, that I needed a Savior. He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I just want to say, when it comes to salvation, we cannot overemphasize the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'll say this tonight. I'll try to say it respectfully but truthfully. I believe there was a period of time in the Independent Baptist Church movement when a lot of people joined up with the church lost. They were talked into this and talked into that and told to give you this and give you that, and it was competition between churches. Brother, we ain't in competition with nobody. Say amen. Except the devil. He's a pulling on them, and we want to get on the other arm and pull on them. Amen. And let them know there's a better way than the devil's way. Amen. There's a way of life. And so we know the importance of the Holy Spirit in salvation. And I believe this. Listen to me carefully right here. I believe he works on both ends. Can I challenge you tonight? How long has it been since you've been burdened for a sinner? How long has it been since you've been burdened? Because I believe the Holy Spirit of God works on both ends. I believe he's working on that other end. I believe he works on the end with the saint. How many believes the Spirit of God led Jesus to the well? Amen. Say amen. 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 Jesus had more on his mind than water that day, didn't he? He had a woman on his mind. A woman that needed salvation. The importance of the Holy Spirit in salvation. The second one now, this is going to kind of go in hand with Sunday morning. And I've told Brother Jason this, and I'm going to tell y'all, I really appreciate and admire how that he stood Sunday night and preached and yet tied it together with Sunday morning. I tell you what, that's a blessing, amen. That is a blessing from God to see that, amen. And I appreciated that. So we're looking at the importance of the Holy Spirit in supplication. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Jude with me, please. That's right over there in front of the Revelation. The book of Jude. When you get there, you'll know what chapter. Okay. Let's look at Jude. And I want to look at verse number 20. Watch what the Bible said here. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Look at that next phrase. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Brother John, I've heard you stand here and teach this. There's times when you pray, and there's other times when you pray. And I believe there's times when we are going through a form and going through a fashion, and there's other times, beloved, when the Holy Spirit of the living God gets a hold of our heart and we pour out our hearts to God. And we need to understand tonight the importance of the Holy Spirit. That prayer does not get born to the throne room just because we get loud or get quiet or say a lot of words or say a few words. The Spirit of the living God must take our prayers before the throne room of God. He said this. He said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Then he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I'm not picking at you tonight. I'm picking at me tonight. I'm picking at all of us tonight. I'm saying if thou believe, there'd be more burden. If we would do more praying in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, amen. I believe the Holy Ghost might nudge our heart about someone, a neighbor, a friend, amen, that needs the Lord. The Bible said over there in the book of Ephesians, it gives you the whole armor of God. I'll never forget this. I was a lost church member when I heard a man preaching on the whole armor of God. And he said, Brother Brian, that there was a sevenfold armor of God. I remember getting home. And let's turn over real quick. The book of Ephesians. I believe it's chapter 6, isn't it? Ephesians chapter number 6. Let's turn over just a minute. Ephesians chapter number 6. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand having your loins girt about with truth. That's one, isn't it? Having the breastplate of righteousness, that's two. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's three. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that's four. Wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, that's five. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that's six. I had to call that preacher that night. I said, you said that armor sevenfold. I can't find but six pieces. The next verse said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Glory to God. I just come out of the meeting and forgot what number seven was. We need to pray in the Spirit of God. Amen. If we're going to, my friend, be effective for the Lord. Luke 11:13 said, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, that's not talking about a second blessing, so to speak. But it's talking about God's people getting to a place where they realize they can't live the Christian life without Him. Amen. He sent that other comforter, not just to comfort us, beloved, but to convict us when we need to be convicted. Amen. And to change us when we need to be changed. Amen. There's no changing apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. So the importance of the Holy Spirit in prayer, in supplication. Robert E. Lee said this. He said, knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today, he said, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray, believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that our people can make in this critical hour. I humbly urge that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, noonday, sundown, midnight, all through the day. Let us all pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves that we might not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those that have never known Jesus Christ in His redeeming love, for moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. I'm telling you, apart from the Holy Spirit of God, it's not going to happen in your life. It's not going to happen in my life. But if He, the Holy Ghost, can get a hold of us, beloved, I believe we can be a praying people and see God do great and mighty things. The Bible said, beloved, call unto me. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Someone said to William Barclay, he said this, he said, when we pray, remember, number one, the love of God that wants the best for us. Remember, number two, the wisdom of God that knows what's best for us. And number three, the power of God that can accomplish it. I like that. Say amen. I believe, beloved, listen, God is dealing in my heart about praying more. Amen. That we might see God do a work in our midst. Prayer is surrender. As Stanley Jones said, surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook, and listen to this, if I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? He said, prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will with God's will. Hallelujah. The shore is stable. And thank God we have an anchor, beloved, and we can hook to and pull that we might be more like Him. not about getting God's will. It's about getting God's will done on earth, not about getting our will done in heaven. Amen. Oh, beloved, this name and claim it crowd, I'm telling you, that's not scriptural. Amen. Jesus himself bowed in the garden where we talked about Sunday morning and said, not as I will, but thy will be done. Think about this. Hudson Taylor was 18 years old. He wandered into his father's life. I want y'all to listen to this. Listen to this, please. He wandered into his father's library and he read a gospel tract. He couldn't shake off his... By the way, beloved, listen. God said his word would accomplish whereunto he sent it, Isaiah 55. And beloved, listen. He said it would not return void. Now, when we really, really, really get a hold of that, then we're going to be giving out his word. I'm reminded tonight of that man in prison years ago. Rock of Ages wanted him so bad. The man was saved in prison. You know how he got saved, Brother Brian, in prison? Somebody had wadded up a chick track that told the gospel of Jesus. He got it out of the trash can, ironed it out on his bunk, and read it, fell down on his knees in that prison, and said yes to the Lamb of God. You say, Pastor, the Word of God ain't got that kind of power. That's our problem tonight. The Word of God does have that kind of power. Amen. Oh, Jeremiah said, it's not my word, thy word like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. My old hard heart one night, beloved, got hit with the Word of God, and it exploded in my heart. The Word of God said over there, I believe it's in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. You study that out, beloved, it's that dynamo, amen. It's like a dynamite in your heart. That's what the Word of God will do. We need to be sowing it, amen. You say, Pastor, why are we reaping sparingly in these days? One of the reasons is we're sowing sparingly. Amen. This message all tied together. I'm in here on prayer. Now we're talking about the Word of God. It's all right. Amen. It all goes together. 18-year-old Hudson Taylor, he wandered into the Father's library and he read a gospel tract. He couldn't shake off its message. Finally, falling to his knees, he accepted Christ as his Savior. Later, his mother, who had been away, returned home. When Hudson told her the good news, she said, I want you to listen to this. I already know. She said, 10 days ago, the very date on which you tell me you read that tract, I had spent the entire afternoon in prayer for you until the Lord assured me that my wayward son had been brought into the fold. Thank God for mothers like that. Brother John, when I read that this afternoon, I thought about you, and you told me one day, you said, Preacher, you said, God's done told me, them boys are going to be saved. They're going to be all right. He's talking about his grandboys. I'm going to tell you, God can tell you some things if you listen to him, amen. Prayer. 5 young college students were spending, I want you to listen to this, spending a Sunday in London. So they went to hear the famed C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. They went to hear him preach. While waiting for the doors to open, the students were greeted by a man who asked, Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church? I've never heard that term before, the heating plant. I guess that's for the heating pumps. Amen. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church? They were not particularly interested, for it was a hot day in July. But they didn't want to offend the stranger, so they consented. The young men were taken down a stairway. A door was quietly opened, and their guide whispered, This is our heating plant. Surprised, the students saw 700 people on their knees in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon to begin in the auditorium above. Softly closing the door, the gentleman then introduced himself. He was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You know what that man of God was doing? He was giving God the glory.
He's saying, youngins, come in here and let me tell you why God's working in this place the way he's working. It ain't because there's a preacher in the pulpit. It's because there's 700 praying in the basement. That ought to help the prayer room, Brother John. Amen. I said that ought to help the prayer room. A.C. Dixon said, when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do, and so on. He said, nor am I disposed to undervalue any of these things in their proper place. He said, but when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. Glory to God. I could quit right now and shout all the way to the house. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we need to get a hold of God and realize, beloved, listen, there's no getting a hold of him and no him getting a hold of us apart from the working of the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, hallelujah. That reminded me of Coulter. He does that, don't he? I got a Chevrolet with a Duramax diesel in it, and I like to hook to a load. I'll call somebody while I'm hooked to it, Brother Jason. And I'll say, I'm a-listening to it. Grab it and growl. Amen. Grab it and growl. The importance of the Holy Spirit next among the saints. Let's go on through here tonight. You all got 10 or 15 more minutes, don't you? Y'all ride? Amen. Amen. Keep that up. I told the church this, I think, but some of you ain't heard it. I was preaching in prison years ago. There's a fella, he's sitting on the front bench where Connor is. I was preaching my guts out. I'm telling you, I mean preaching my guts out. And he kept saying, preach! Preach! Finally, about 15 minutes into it, I stopped, got right down in his face. I said, what in the name of Jesus do you think I'm trying to do? Amen. 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 I'm telling you, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Good to know the Lord. Amen. Good to know we're not alone. Amen. The importance of the Holy Spirit among the saints. Listen to this. Listen to this. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I like that. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I didn't know this. I did not know this until this afternoon. I got to thinking about the importance of the Holy Spirit, and there was one verse, one of these verses came to my mind, and I looked it up, but when I looked it up, I just typed the word in. The word unity is only used 3 times in the entire Bible. I didn't know that. I did not know that. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit among the saints? Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Connor, you know what? If we got any unity, you know where it comes from? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the living God. I'm going to show you in just a minute. Amen. Watch this now. Then Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What God's talking about there is growing up. Say amen. Maturing. Now listen to this. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:3, it says endeavoring. That word endeavor means work at it. You need to work at that. If you're going to go on an endeavor, you're going to endeavor to do something. I guess I've endeavored to build a playground. Well, it takes money. And it takes planning, amen? And you got to call and see how much it costs. You say, Pastor, why'd you even worry about that? I'll tell you why. Jesus said, what man of you going to build a house, amen? You don't sit down first and count the cost.
Amen. And so we sat down, we counted the cost. We're endeavoring to do something. The Bible said endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How many of y'all have ever used super glue? Have they ever got two fingers stuck? I didn't know this until my boy, he actually works at the glass plant. We talked about that. You know what they do down there when they get cut? They glue it back together. I didn't know that, man. I thought you had to go get some stitches, but you know that now, don't you, Brother Brian? They just glue it up, amen. But I'm going to tell you the glue that holds the church together. It's the blessed Holy Spirit of the living God. Yeah, that kind of glue, Brother Brian, if I wrong you, will help me to walk right up to you with a broken heart and say, Brother, I wronged you. I need you to forgive me. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's the glue that's holding this thing together. I heard one Baptist preacher say this. He said, the Baptists don't split. He said, they just have administrational reorganizations. I don't care what kind of tag you put on it, honey. It's ugly as sin. When God's people are not dwelling together in unity, it's ugly. Amen. What the church needs today, this is what E.M. Bounds said, is not more machinery or better machinery, not new organizations. We would say in our day and time, not new programs. That's not what the church needs. What the church needs is men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. That's what E.M. Bounds said, amen. Listen, we study about it, don't we? Don't we study about the revivals back yonder and we study about the moves of God? How many would like to see another and say amen? I'm going to tell you where it'll start. I want some camel knees. Begging God, amen, amen, amen. Then the importance of the Holy Spirit in security. I'm gonna plow on right here and get done. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13 said, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm going to heaven when I die. You say, you're some kind of arrogant man to say something like that. No, 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 I'm not arrogant. I just believe the Bible. I believe the Spirit of the living God has sealed me until the day of redemption. That don't make me want to live like hell. That don't make me want to sin. That makes me want to serve the one that picked me up out of that mess, say amen, put my feet on a solid rock, put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, listen, you're not bragging on yourself if you say, I know I'm going to heaven. What you're saying is, I believe the Bible and the Spirit of God sealed me. Up there a while ago, we talked about, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I don't know why I'm running this rabbit tonight, but I'm going to run it. I heard a lot of people say, well, y'all believe that once in grace, always in grace. You ever heard it like that? Amen. No, I believe what God gives a person that gets saved is eternal life. Somebody don't believe that, I like to talk to them, and I don't argue with them, but I like to talk to them. I ask them just a couple questions. Number one, what is the gift of God? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most everybody knows that. Eternal life, that's the gift of God. Number two, when does an individual receive the gift of God? I've never had one person say, when you get to heaven. Everybody I've ever talked to and asked that question, they said, well, when you get saved. When you trust Jesus. Amen. If you study your Bible out, Jesus is eternal life. Actually, when you get Jesus, you get eternal life, and you also get the Spirit of the living God. And so the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. The third question I ask them is this. If the gift of God is eternal life, and you get that gift when you get saved, and anything, ever happened to interrupt that, was it eternal to start with?
If God gave me eternal life, February 22nd, 1987, and he did, and I die and go to hell, was it eternal to start with? You see, a lot of this is that bondage to fear. We gotta worry, amen. God said, listen, perfect love casteth out fear. I'm not going to lay down tonight and wonder or worry, am I going to go to hell? I'm in Jesus, he's in me. The Spirit of God has sealed me. But watch this. They say, well, you know, but if you sin, let me ask you this question. How much sin does it take? Let me ask you this question. How much sin's going to be in heaven? Nothing that defiles. Amen. No, there's not going to be a lie. There's not going to be flesh. There's not going to be anything that defiles in heaven. So you're telling me that a man's going down the road and he has a bad thought, he wrecks at that intersection? You're telling me that man's going to hell if he's been born again? Beloved, that's just not doctrine. That's not Bible doctrine. That's false doctrine. Amen. And I don't know why I had to get on that tonight, but the Holy Spirit of God is the reason we're secure tonight. It's not my efforts. I've asked this question before. Somebody said, if you stand before God tonight, and he said, why should I let you in my heaven? I'd like to give some things that I wouldn't say. Wouldn't have anything to do with preaching. Wouldn't have anything to do with praying. Wouldn't have anything to do with trying to be a good husband or a good papaw. It wouldn't have anything to do with reading the Bible. It wouldn't have anything to do with being a member at Bible Way. It wouldn't have anything to do with being baptized in a water hole somewhere. But if they said, if God said, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm going to say, Lord, who was it preaching about that? That was a Coulter, wasn't it, about the rainbow? You know, God said he would remember. I'd say, Lord, you remember. Way back yonder, you knocked at my heart's door. And I knew and I saw that I was an old wicked sinner. And I came that night and I asked Jesus to have mercy on me. Amen. I'm telling you, that's it right there in a nutshell. There's lots of things that we do because we are God's children. But the only thing we can do to become God's child is be born again. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Now let's look at the importance of studying the Scripture. And I'm done. And Brother Jason, you'll have to pick this up yourself. Amen. Because I'm about toast. Amen. Up here. More ways than one. But the importance of the Holy Spirit in studying the Scripture. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. When you get your Bible down, it'd be good just to bow your head and say, Lord, if you're the author, God breathed. Holy men of old spake because they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Brother John, have you ever noticed this? You run across a passage that's just difficult, and you go to looking for something in a commentary, and they didn't know either. Am I right, Brother? They'll skip it, won't they, Brother John? They'll skip it altogether. You know what I found out? Just roll out of that chair, get down on your knees and say, God, you wrote this book, and if there's something here you want me to have, show it to me. You know what he'll do? If he wants you to have it, he'll show it to you. Amen. I told somebody the other day, those preachers that was there in that youth meeting, when we was there in a prayer meeting before that, I told them about the verse of Scripture over there where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I explained to them how God worked in my heart about that verse of Scripture. And you know what one of the men said? He said, I've wrestled with that all my life. He said, that's the best explanation I ever heard. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I asked God to show me. Amen. And I believe, listen, if the Bible's not dogmatic, don't you be dogmatic. But if the Bible's dogmatic, you can be dogmatic. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart
We can stand on the Word of God. This last two things right here, the importance of the Holy Spirit in studying the Scripture. The Bible said, I believe it was Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I didn't know this till this week. The word conformed is only used two times in the Bible. In that verse, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 there, be not conformed. But if you go to Romans chapter 8, we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Ain't that good? Sister Jennifer, you can use that in the bee, in the beehive. Amen. Be not. Be not. Amen. I'm done. Y'all all right?